وهينو عملنا إلهينو لنا ما سندنا وكننا لنا ما سندنا وكننا. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. Be'ezrat Hashem, Shatova. We are now concluding our Shiurim in Petach Eliyahu, which is the Hakdamah to the Tikkuni Zohar, which is what I've always called as if a Kabbalistic pledge of allegiance. And if you've listened to the previous lessons, you know that I do this. In other words, I call it such because there are certain foundation principles, Hakdamot, Yesodot, as we call them, which every single person, Jew and B'nai Noach, must know to have the proper understanding, balance, and insights into walking the path with Hashem. Because in all due respect, in this one matter, knowing Hashem and serving Hashem with all your heart, this is incumbent upon both Jew and B'nai Noach alike. Of course, the great difference is how that manner of observance is performed, of course, but that's the whole matter of Torah mitzvot. But that's not our issue here. Right now, we're still talking, if you will, Yisodei Torah, foundations. So, as we now conclude our introduction and understanding of Petach Eliyahu, we have at this moment, at this point in this proclamation, this prayer, this teaching, a change of speaker. As we know, this material began with the words Petach Eliyahu Hanavi Ve'amar. Eliyahu Hanavi spoke and said. Now our speaker changes. We are now going to be addressed by none other than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself. It is interesting to note that even though Eliyahu HaNavi is considered the Rebbe, the teacher of Rabbi Shimon is still in an extremely unique position as a human being, in that he was given, if you will, the channel, the teaching, in such a profound way. Now, what is interesting to note here, with regards to the person of Rabbi Shimon, is that the teachings that are revealed to him were not necessarily unknown before his time. However, they might not have been revealed in that respect. Rabbi Shimon is the conduit for revelation. Here is something very profound. As we know, Rabbi Shimon was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, his life was ended with the conclusion of the Bar Kokhba war against Rome. Bar Kokhba was the last chance that we had of bringing any kind of end to the Galut. Unfortunately, the people, well, put it bluntly, they messed up their chance. And Bar Kokhba, who had the Nitzotz of Mashiach in his generation, who could have been made Melech HaMashiach, unfortunately, due to the sins of the generation, did not merit such. And his movement fell. And of course, with him, his Rebbe, his spiritual guide and teacher, Rabbi Akiva, fell with him. So indeed, when the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva proclaimed Bar Kokhba Mashiach, he was not mistaken. Indeed, it was true. But now, Rabbi Akiva's life was forfeit. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, in order to safeguard the teachings, passed them on, as was tradition, secretly, clandestinely, privately, to his one faithful student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This great day that the teachings were passed on to Rabbi Shimon is still observed by us to this day. We call it the Hilulah, the elevation of Rabbi Shimon. Some people have the tradition that this was the day of his passage, meaning the day of his death and ascent of his soul to Shemaim. But according to Maran Achida, who knew the true tradition, this was the day that we celebrate the passage of the material, the teachings, the Torah, from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And of course, I'm speaking of the 18th day of the month of Iyar, or as we know, Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was given this special permission. Just as it was a generation after him, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was given special permission to take the pshat of the Torah and to put it into writing, so in the generation prior, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was given permission to reveal the teachings of the Sod. However, it was an edict that for a period of 1,000 years, the secrets were to be concealed. Now, some people contend the authorship of the Zohar and question whether it was truly Rabbi Shimon or not. And in all due respect, one can look at the Zohar as we have it today and recognize truly that there are sections in it that are obviously of later origin. In all due respect, there are sections in the Zohar which, according to Gemara, which was written 500 years later, mentions the Gemara by name. So obviously, there is, shall we say, later editions. But that does not necessarily negate that the original teachings in their original format are, as the Zohar describes, the dictation of Rabbi Shimon to his student Rabbi Abba. Now remember, not too long ago, a few years back, half a century now, we had the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Teachings, material hidden for thousands of years. So to think that the writings of the Zohar and its teachings could have been hidden for a thousand years is not unthinkable. And indeed, the fact that these works were accepted comprehensively by all the rabbis of the generation as the authoritative works of Rabbi Shimon proves that somehow, somewhere, somebody knew something. And this was welcomed and received in its day. The position of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the world of Torah is crucial. He is, if you will, the savior of Torah Tasod. Because his Rabbi Akiva came to an end. If he did not pass on these teachings to Rabbi Shimon, then Rabbi Shimon never would have been in a position, never would have been able to have received the revelations that he did in his cave for a period of 12 years with his son Rabbi Eliezer. For you see, Rabbi Shimon shared Rabbi Akiva's patriotism and hatred of the evil conquerors. And by even expressing such, his words were carried away, as we say, the winds have ears as through the walls, by a traitor and the Jewish people, forcing Rabbi Shimon to hide. And in his hiding, did he have revealed to him not only Eliyahu and Navi, but as we will see, many, many others. And it is this connection with these many, many others which reveals to us the true nature of reality, that which is concealed and hidden from our physical eyes. And therefore, let us now read the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and understand the nature of his revelation, what it has to teach us about revelation, about our world, and about what we can pursue so as to encourage our own spiritual connection to Hashem and to bond with Hashem and to fulfill the mitzvah of Devikut. Kol Rabbi Shimon mitchadeshun milin al yadach, taha reshuta itlach, legala'a razin temirin al yadach, mad lo ityahev rashu legala'a, deshum barnash adkan. Rise up, Rabbi Shimon, and let new things be revealed by your hands. For to you has permission been granted, that by your hand shall be revealed the most sublime of secrets, that which no one has been allowed to reveal until now. Remember, we said reveal unto now. But knowing, believe you me, the knowledge was always there. And with these words now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, receiving permission from Eliyahu HaNavi, is now going to open his mouth and teach. But now understand something profound. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, like every Baal Ruach HaKodesh, as every Navi before him, does not just open up his mouth and talk as if he has a prepared lecture, notes in front of him that he has studied and practiced. No, on the contrary, Rabbi Shimon speaks now from a very different place. You see, Rabbi Shimon knew, experienced, and lived in a very different mode of consciousness than we do today. Our Western society is in a way poisoned. That is the correct word. You can say brainwashed, if you will. We have been miseducated. And the proper word is to be half-brained. That's right. Our entire society is half-brained. We are taught, summing it all up, can't see it, it ain't real. Or in other words, if you can't prove it, don't believe it. Or in other words, if it doesn't make logical sense, then it can't make sense at all. And you see, we therefore draw the criteria of reality at the borderline of a conscious comprehension. I understand it, it's real, but I don't. Now, modern science has truly expanded the envelope of what reality is by speaking of multiple universes, parallel dimensions, many types of things that at one time were the realm of mysticism have now become the realm of science. And science is only now beginning to ask a question which was answered long ago by the ancients. If there are these other parallel universes and other dimensions, as you hear about in the string theory and M theory and the like that physicists speak of today, they ask the question, well, if we live here, does anyone live there? Well, we've always known that there are others, if you will, living there. Remember that when we use the term living, we have a very different understanding of what that means than just life of the physical body. Because if you were to take a look at the physical body and just wonder how it even lives is boggling. The concept of life, we don't understand. We might be able to imitate it, jumpstart it, possibly even duplicate it. But God only knows what on earth it really is. Well, bottom line, what it is consciousness, knowledge, awareness. And this consciousness, knowledge, and awareness comes from beyond the limitations of the conscious mind into the realm which in religion and spirituality we call the soul, the neshama. But as you know, I don't like to use religious terminology simply because it has become too mythological. People do not understand religious terminology anymore. And therefore, they've created a, if you will, make-believe story about it, a myth. And therefore, do not understand and grasp the true essence. So I prefer to use scientific terms to help us emphasize the reality of these things. That what we call spiritual is not an option, is not a faith, is not a belief, but it is real. Let me give you an example. Let us make a parallel, if you will, to the dial on a radio. As we very well know, let's speak of AM radio, where there is numerous stations. And you are tuning your dial, and you can tune into one specific radio station, and you hear everything clearly and well. And as you very well know, you're able to turn the dial and tune in another radio station clearly and well. What you do not have is both stations coming in together clearly and well. Because if one and the other are coming in together. You have an overlap, and that makes what we call static and very, very fuzzy communicate, fuzzy reception. Understand that this metaphor of the radio is the reality of human consciousness. There are multiple frequencies, if you will, multiple broadcasts, multiple dimensions, parallel worlds, each one compare, if you will, to one of the bands on the radio. Our conscious mind is tuned into one. Our conscious mind, when properly trained, can learn to go from one band to the next. Heaven help us if we try to get in multiple bands simultaneously, because that's when we get static. That's the confusion, the breach of the conscious and unconscious wall of separation, the results of which are psychoses. That is why we warn people who do not study Kabbalah properly that they can go insane. Understand how true this is. And this is very important, because Rabbi Shimon was the master of, if you will, turning the dial, going from one realm to the next. Now, if you are tuned into one radio broadcast, one frequency, one station, if you will, what happens to all the other stations? Do they disappear and go away and no longer exist just because you're not listening to them? We obviously know that is not the case. Well, the other dimensions parallel to us obviously do not go away just because we're not listening to them. They are happening simultaneous. The great teachings of the Kabbalah, as outlined in detail by none other than the teacher of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Akiva, and his summations of the original teachings of Abraham Avinu, I refer, of course, to the Sefer Yetzirah, teaches, one, the prophetic method of how the mind oscillates from one to the other. Rabbi Shimon, of course, was the master. So now, Rabbi Shimon, who is now the master student of Rabbi Akiva, is given the permission. Speak now, he says. Reveal now. And we are going to conclude this Hakdamah, this introduction, what Rabbi Shimon taught, how we are to understand it, what it has to say to us. Kam Rabbi Shimon, Patach ve'amar. Rabbi Shimon begins and states, Lecha Adonai ha-gedula ve'ha-givura ha-tiferet ha-netzach ve'ha-hod. To you, our Hashem, is the greatness and the severity. Starts naming the pasuk from Divrei HaYamim, Chronicles 29:11, which is the source of the names of the Sefirot. What's important here is just a few words. Lecha Hashem. To you, Hashem, quoting the Pasuk. What Rabbi Shimon is saying here is not that you, Hashem, are the Sefirot, but the Sefirot belong to you, Hashem. They are your vessels. They are your channels. They are the means through which your singular, undivided, undifferentiated light, or Ein Sof, can be expressed in various forms and ways, so that we, your creation, can have an experience of your reality. This is a very profound teaching. That we have the connection. And this is very, very important. Because this, in the world of philosophy, this has always been argued. Did God create the world in the beginning and then like spin it off like a top to exist on its own? Or is God very much involved in the everyday and every moment affairs? And our answer is, Lecha Hashem, to you Hashem. Meaning, yes, Hashem is involved in everything, every detail, every way. And this is exactly what the rest of what Rabbi Shimon has to teach us as we continue. Ila'im Shima'u, Inun de Mechin de Hebron, Paraya Mehemna, Itaru Meshinachon, Hakitsu, Raneno Shochene Afar, Elinu Inun Sadakaya de Inun Nisitra, Dahut It Marba, Ani Shana Velibi Er. Velavinu Metim, ובגין דיית מר בהון, הקיצו ברעננו וכו'. הקיצור, ראיה מהמנה, התאר, אנטרערהן, התארותה דשכינתה, תהיו ישנה בגלותה, עד כאן סדקיה, כולו דמכין ושינתה ברחורי הון. Rabbi Shimon calls and he says, those above are listening. Those who sleep in Hebron, as well as the faithful shepherd. Rise up now from your sleep, quoting Isaiah. Awaken and sing, you who sleep in the dust. These are the righteous who come forth from the side referred to as, quoting Shir HaShirim, I sleep, yet my heart is awake. These are not dead. Therefore they are told, wake and sing. What? Who are we talking about here? Faithful shepherd. You and the fathers must awake and sing in order to arouse the Shekhinah that sleeps in exile. For now, all the righteous are asleep. The slumber is upon their eyes. But immediately the Shekhinah cries out to the faithful shepherd, rise up, rise up. For of you it is written, the voice of my beloved is knocking. Shir HaShirim. What are we talking about here? What on earth are we getting into here? Remember what I was talking to you about earlier? About we have to completely change our understanding of what we call living. There's a very profound teaching that is brought down by Marana Ari. It's quoted by Marana Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer Datut Funa in the 41st Perek, quoting, of course, I believe it's the Shaharoch HaKodesh. Actually a source from the Zohar HaKadosh itself. Interesting statement that states, if it were not for the prayers of the dead, for the living, none of us would ever be alive. None of us could ever survive. And you say, what on earth does that mean? Well, you see, that which we call life and death is actually nothing more than a change of the radio frequency on the dial. It really doesn't exist from the point of consciousness. And I gave an entire shiur on this called The Secrets of Life After Death. It's one of our new lessons in Kosher Torah spirituality, which is available, of course, on our website, koshertorah.com. For those of you who want more information, I recommend that you listen to that shiur. But here, understand and know something very profound. When that which makes us human, our mind, our thoughts, our consciousness, if you will, our neshama, leaves the physical body, it transcends and goes into, if you will, another dimension. Our physical dimension here is limited by the physical human brain, which is, if you will, like almost correctly to say a jail, a prison, which blocks our senses into seeing things within a very limited spectrum. As we very well know, in the realm of sight, visible light, which makes up our everything we see in our world, is a very limited spectrum. What we hear is only within a limited spectrum. There are entities in the animal kingdom which can see things that we cannot see, hear things that we cannot hear. And just because we do not see them or we do not hear them, it does not mean that they are not real. Does not mean they do not exist. It just means that now, scientifically, we recognize and understand our own limitations and parameters. Well, so it is with the human mind. Our mind and our consciousness exists within, if you will, a limited spectrum of what it is able to perceive. Limited, if you will, by the organic brain. When this is deleted, when this is no longer the limiting factor because our mind, our consciousness is no longer associated with the physical brain, our scope of spiritual vision is greatly expanded. And those in that realm or level of consciousness, which we call the dead, have an ability to, if you will, shift their spiritual sight, to see what is happening in this world and in their own, and with similar ease as we can shift our focus by turning our neck and looking towards our right or towards our left. And these souls, knowing, aware, fully, continuously involved with our living here in this world, are called upon by Rabbi Shimon now to join, to be together, that their prayers, their intervention, their guidance should be with us to assist us, educate us, and guide us in the ways of Torah and mitzvot. For you see, when one truly knows the spiritual path of Devikut and knows the teachings of what we can call meditation, the path of the Kabbalah Nevuit, one is able to shift one's focus of consciousness from the limitation that we exist in to a greater scope. And in that greater scope, become aware of these other realities which are inhabited by these other entities. Commune with them. Receive from them guidance, wisdom, knowledge, which can then be brought back into our conscious framework and enlighten and direct our world. This is what we called revelation. Rabbi Shimon was a master of revelation. And just as we began this set of lectures informing us of the value and necessity of revelation, so now we must conclude with the same teaching. But now, rather than just proclaim what it is, we're going to explain how it is. You see, these other entities, as we say, are not dead. We say that they sleep in the dust. But there is a method, a technique, a means of how one can focus and shift one's consciousness by contemplating certain holy names, by contemplating the words of these great and holy sages, and bind with them. There is what we call yichudim, to bind our minds and our thoughts, our hearts, if you will, with that of a tzaddik. So, let me ask you the question. How would you like to hear personally from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Chinina ben Dosa, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hillel? Who? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? Who would you like to speak to? Now, no, we're not going to give you the telephone number. Let's not talk in silliness. Let's talk realistically. Because the connection to these holy souls is as open today as if they were physically standing in front of you, alive. And how can this be? Because if you know the secret of how to connect to them, you'll forgive my metaphor. If you'll know their spiritual phone number, you'll know how to make the call. And this is exactly what Rabbi Shimon is teaching us now. And this is important, because I'm going to now teach you a technique which you can do, which I do, which every great and holy sage of Israel has always done. This is a manner and a technique taught by Rabbi Chaim Vital in his Shari Kedusha, practiced long before him, practiced by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself. And this is called, if you will, a Magid meditation, or if you will, a Mishnah meditation. This is what you do. If you feel an emotional attachment, not an intellectual curiosity, that won't do it. Remember, everything revolves around the heart. If you have an emotional feeling towards a great sage, a Tana, then what you will do is find a Mishnah, specifically a Mishnah, because the word Mishnah is the same letters as the Hebrew word Neshama. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who wrote the Mishnayot as the original format of the oral Torah did so with very specific intent, with Ruach HaKodesh, almost the spirit of prophecy, to create a meditative tool that not only could people learn from it pshat, but delve into its depths for secrets as well. So you can learn the Mishnayot via the Kabbalah. You'll have all the secrets of the Zohar right therein. So now understand. You can take a Mishnah, which has the name of the Tzaddik that you feel an emotional bond with. And you use that Mishnah, allow me to use the Eastern term, as your mantra. And you will recite the Mishnah over and over and over and over and over and over again. Ultimately, inevitably, you'll kind of like fall asleep. And I say kind of like, because you actually might. But if you do, then you will wake up and you'll get into that groggy state in between consciousness and unconsciousness. It's kind of like that state in between shifting from one radio station to the next. And in between the two, in that static, you can hear the voice of your Tana speaking back to you, saying, "You've called me. Here I am. Now listen to what I have to say." Who of all people would ever do something as weird as this? Well, amongst them was none less than Rabbi Yosef Karo himself, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He would sit and meditate and recite Mishnayot upon Mishnayot, and the spirit of the Mishnah, the Shekhinah herself, would speak. As the Pasuk says, "The voice of my beloved is knocking." Here now is the great secret. You see, Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, is awake. All the great tzaddikim are awake. Their bodies sleep in the dust. But in that dust, in the DNA which is left, there is still a spark which connects to their souls. And this is the secret of going to the graves of the holy sites, wherein which from that spark, through the meditation, we can connect to the soul and learn. And that is the secret of why we go to the graves of the tzaddikim. Now understand and know that even if you are not at the grave physically, this can be done. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai calls upon the righteous to awaken. And he says, "The time has now come for them to teach, to guide and direct. The temple has been destroyed. Prophecy has long gone. The Maase Merkava practitioners are dying off, with Rabbi Shimon being one of the last few. So now we must teach people what and how to do things." And that is what it is here to teach you. Miyad Yahivat Shechinta Tlat Kolin Lagabe Rai Mehemna Veyimale Kum Rai Mehemna Taha Alach Itmar Kol Dodi Dofek Lagabai Ba'arbat Wandila Veyima Behon התחלי אחותי רעייתי יונתי תמתי, דהת המונך בת ציון, לא יוסיף להבלותך. Immediately the Shekhinah cries out to the faithful shepherd Moshe Rabbeinu, "Rise up, for to you is written, the voice of my beloved is knocking." These are the four letters of the name of Hashem, to which it says, "Open to me, my sister, my beloved, my pure one. The punishment of your sins is fulfilled, O daughter of Zion. No more will you be carried away into exile, spiritual exile." And we'll discuss how that is in a moment, but let's discuss this process. Quoting here the Pasuk, where it says, "Kol dofi dofek, the voice of my beloved is knocking." Rabbi Yosef Karo, of all people, explained this Pasuk. You see, when he would meditate, and he would go into a trance, no one physically came to him. It's not like you'd be able to walk into the room and there was like some burning light. But rather, the connection was made through the mind, through the soul, through the unconscious to the conscious mind. And this is exactly as it was with prophecy. and the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh, spoke from within his mind, possessed him, took over his mouth, his lips, and spoke from within him. And this is why it says, the voice of my beloved is knocking. In essence, his head would jerk back, his mouth would open. Maybe with the movement of lips, and maybe not. A voice would come forth from his mouth. Maybe his voice, and maybe not. And this is the voice of my beloved knocking. This is exactly how prophecy was received. When Isaiah and Ezekiel were giving their prophecies and their students were around them, they would go into their meditative trance. Their heads also would jerk back. Their mouth would open. And from them would come forth the voice of Hashem, with their students transcribing every word. And this is how Rabbi Yosef Karo did it too. And for those of you who don't know, Rabbi Karo and his students also kept a diary, if you will, writing down every word that was revealed from the Shekhinah. And it's published. It's available. We call the Sefer Magid Misharim, the teachings of the Magid, the guide. It's readily available in all Jewish bookstores. Go read it and learn for yourself. The technique, however, is something that can be practiced. Because when we talk about the introduction into proper Torah spiritual concepts, we must recognize and know. It's not enough that we can just learn something and acknowledge it and say, oh, this is what I've been taught, this is what I believe. No. As Rabbi Akiva himself taught in the Sefer Yetzirah, it's not enough that you just follow the leader. You have to be a leader. Just as the great teacher before them, Hillel, taught. The place where there is no man, strive to be a man, meaning to be a leader. It's not enough that you just hear and follow. You must hear and experience and see for yourself. This is why at Mount Sinai, B'nai Yisrael did not say, we hear and obey. They said, we obey and hear. Na'ase v'nishma. We will do first, and then we will hear. The great secret is you will do this. And by doing this, divikut, meditation, opening and expanding your mind, indeed you will hear for yourself and know the truth. This is the first of the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Before you can accept my word for it, he says, come and see for yourself how to do it. And he teaches you, open up. And he says, this is the four letters of Hashem's name, referred to in the Pasuk where it says, open to me, my sister, my beloved, my pure one. The reason why it has all these different metaphors is to reveal to us something very profound according to the secret of what we call the Tal, the Do, and that's what we will discuss now. But he starts by saying here, quoting Echa, the punishment of your sins is fulfilled, Bat Zion. No more you be carried away into exile. Spiritual exile. Indeed, you can now experience Mashiach. Maybe not in the physical world, but in the spiritual world. This teaching was echoed centuries later by the Baal Shem Tov, where he writes that each of us have a spark of Mashiach within us. And before Mashiach can come to the world, we have to activate that spark within. In other words, before Mashiach can come to the world, he has to come to each one of us personally. And this was not a teaching which is new. Indeed, in the Gemara itself, it taught with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who saw Eliyahu HaNavi and asked him, so, when's Mashiach coming? To which Eliyahu responded, go and ask him yourself. He's sitting over there. And he went over there, and Mashiach said to him these profound words. Rabbi Yoshua asked him, when are you coming? And he said to him, Hayom, today. Rabbi Yoshua walked up, okay. And Eliyahu went back and smiled at Rabbi Yoshua and says, did you understand what he said? Hayom, im bekolo tishmahu. According to Pasuk, today, yes, if you will hear his voice. Because I reveal to you something now very profound. Historically, politically, when will Mashiach come? He already has. He's already here. It's just that our consciousness and reality hasn't materialized it yet. I've always told people, everybody always says, yeah, everything will be okay. We'll be in the future. And I said, everything's okay right now, in the present. You just haven't realized it yet. And when you do, present and the future will merge, become one. And what will be good is good, and will is good now. You want Mashiach to come? Make him come now, and he will. The Pasuk continues and states, Shiroshi Nimlatal, for my head is full of dew. I'll read to you the words of the Tikkunim here. My Nimlatal, Ela Ramar Kodesha Baruchu Barichu, An Chashivte Yoma Dehitra Bet Mikdasha, Di Ilana Bebeta Dile, Di Ilana Bishuva, Labhachi. The Loila Kolzman the Ant Begaluta. Hari lach simana shiroshi nimnatal. He shechinta begaluta shlimudila vahaindila ihutal. Veda ihu yud ke wow. Oke ihi shechinta, the lo bechushpantal. Ela yud ke wow that is skilu at one bechushpantal. Diu maliad shechinta min vo'u the kome korin lain. Meyad kamrai mehem navahan kadishinima. Ad kan raza di ihuta. My head is full of dew. What does it mean, my head is full of dew? The Holy One, blessed be He, answers and says, you have thought that from the day the temple was destroyed, that I have not entered my heavenly house and dwelt there. But this is not so. I have not entered it at all. In other words, that I have entered. Let me repeat that. You have thought that from the day the temple was destroyed, that I have entered my heavenly house and dwelt there. But this is not so. I have not entered it at all. For as long as you, Bnei Yisrael, are in exile, you have a sign that, quoting the verse, my head is full of dew, tal. The final hey of Yudke Vavke, Havaya, she is the Shekhinah in exile. Her life, her completion, comes from this tal. The tal, as we know, is the Hebrew name Yudke Vav, numerically equals 39. I'll explain all this as we proceed. And the final hey of the name Havaya Dema is not included in the value of Tal. Only Yudke Vav alone equals Tal. This is what flows down to the Shekhinah, the hay, from the supernal sources. Now immediately rose the faithful shepherd of the Holy Fathers with him. This is all that can be revealed about the secret of the unity. And thus concludes the Patach Eliyahu. Now, let us conclude our Shiurim in this series by explaining the meaning of Tal. It's all well and good to say that we have the ability to connect to God. But how far does that ability extend? In other words, what can we really accomplish? Can I talk to an angel? I can talk to someone who's dead. I could talk to a tzaddik. I mean, what does that all mean? What am I getting it into here? Hashem says, my head is full of tal. What is this tal? Understand that tal, which means dew. You know, like dew in the morning, the water, you know, rises up out of the earth. This is a secret code. Hashem is saying, do not think that there is peace above when there is no peace below. The interrelationship of the dimensions, the worlds, are incumbent and dependent one upon the other. Just as there is no peace below, there is no peace above. Just as there is no completion below, there is no completion above. And you might say, well, why? And the answer is, should be clear and obvious. Because heaven and earth, physical and spiritual, the two halves of a whole. And unless everything is in proper alignment, then nothing is. And when we say Hashem is in His temple above, meaning is in His rightful place, that's the spiritual dimension is in its rightful place. And what does that mean? Place. Remember, there's nothing physical when we talk about anything spiritual. So the word place has to be understood metaphorically as being the proper relationship between the spiritual and the physical. And just like I said, our whole society is half-brained, so out of whack, that the spiritual is not in its proper place. It is grossly out of place. And because of such, our world, our society, our history is so grossly imbalanced that as we see, we're on the verge of another world war because we are so imbalanced that we just don't know how to create balance other than trying to suppress that which is different and to impose one view over another rather than allowing everything to fall into its proper place. This then is the secret of the Tal. You see, Tal, Tet, Lamed in Hebrew. Numerical value is 39. When we have the name of Yudke Vavke, the name of Havaya spelled out, which we call Havaya Dema, Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, He is spelled He Aleph, Vav is spelled Vav, Aleph Vav, and He of course He Aleph. The numerical value of this, what we call Milui, the spelling of the name of Hashem, is the numerical value of 45. No coincidence, the numerical value of the Hebrew word Adam, for man. When we are taught that we are created in the image of God, we are said to be created in this specific image of the holy name Yudke Vavke. This image of God is what, this holy name, is what we metaphorically refer to Hashem. We say the Holy One, blessed be He, the God of Israel. We are the children of Hashem, our God, as the Pasuk in Torah teaches. We are therefore a representation, a manifestation of this holy name. You see, this name of Yudke Vavke in the numerical value of Ma, in and of itself is a code. It is made up of four letters, each spelling out a certain reality, representing the four dimensions within nature, within man, within Torah, and within God Himself. We can call it, in Hashem, the realms of Atzilut, Beria, Yitzira, and Asiya, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. In Torah, we can refer to them as Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, the four levels of Torah study, and man, in us. As a matter of fact, everything in creation. They represent the four levels of what we can call the spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical. Now, we exist in the physical world. That corresponds to the last letter of the holy name, Yudke Vavke. The final letter here is He. Physical world. We say now that the physical world is in exile, disconnected from the spiritual. The spiritual, as we know, is the Yod. But the spiritual, and the intellectual, and the emotional correspond to the three higher dimensional planes. In Kabbalah language, they're referred to as Atzilut, Beria, and Yetzirah. These are the dimensions, what we can call the astral realm, the mental realm, and the sephirotic realm. These realms are invisible to us, concealed from us, and in a way, disconnected from us. These three realms are represented by the three letters Yud Kevav of this name Ma. So therefore you have the numerical spellings, or I should say the spellings Yud Vav Dalet, He Aleph, and then Vav Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, that's correct. The numerical value, of course, is 39, the Tal. You see, what Rabbi Shimon here is teaching us, what Hashem is saying to us is, just because it appears that we are disconnected, don't think so. My head is full of Tal, meaning that which enables me to connect has the ability to connect. The head has within it all the upper worlds, the connection to the upper worlds. Hashem is saying, don't think that everything is all peace and good and dandy. No. For as long as there is this connection below, there is this connection above. And the sign that I am with you in the disconnection is that the head is full of tar. That your head, my head, has the ability to connect with the astral, mental, and sephirotic realms represented by the Vav, the He, and the Yud of the Havaya of Ma. This is the secret of the Tal. This is what flows down to the Shekhinah, the physical world, and everything in it. We have the connection. We have the ability. We have the opening. Now all we must do is take advantage of it. Use it. And pray God use it wisely. This is now the secret. And immediately the faithful shepherd Moshe Rabbeinu himself arose with all the fathers from Hebron, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, those who create the harmony and the balance. And it says here, Ad kan raza de Yehuda. Up until here is the secret of the unity. What is the secret of the unity? Obviously Hashem fills all place, Malok kol haaretz kavodo. But yet we have that opportunity, that ability within us, to penetrate beyond the veil of the physical illusion, which we call our physical world, and to see beyond. And to bring that reality of the beyond into this physical reality, to integrate and then knit them all together, to unite the letters of Yudke with Vavke in a perfect unity, in the name of all Israel. And by doing so, changing the consciousness of collective Israel from the inside out, from the unconscious rising and bubbling up to the conscious. And this is what we do. This is what we can do. The spirit of our fathers are with us. This is the secret that said in the Gemara, Kol Yisrael aruvin ze leze. Unfortunately, mistranslated to say all Israel is responsible for one another. Those who know Hebrew know the word aruv means, if you will, interconnected. Our souls are interconnected, like branches connected to a tree. We all have a relationship. So you want to ask, well, gee, which tzaddik, which Tana, which Mishnaic teacher should I feel for? You will only feel for that teacher whose soul is somehow connected to your own, who somewhere is connected to your branch along the tree. That's why I said you can't think about this. It's not an intellectual conclusion. You either feel it and know it in your heart, or you just haven't developed enough sensitivity yet. And if you haven't, just read Mishnayot over and over and over again until you go to sleep. Somehow, somewhere, something will pop up into your heart. It's a process. We are blemished today. We are half-brained. We have been lied to. Our world is a deception. If you wish to penetrate the veil and go beyond to experience truth, then you must make the effort to do so. The connection is open. The frequency is there. All you have to do is tune in. And with this, you will find that everything in the universe is awaiting you. That's right. This is personal. You. The universe awaits you. Mashiach awaits you. Hashem awaits you. The Shekhinah awaits you. Your own higher self awaits you. I am not giving you a recipe here for happiness in life, financial fulfillment, finding a shidduch, or winning the numbers of the lottery, or any other types of things related to this world. Because even many of the great and holy tzaddikim face the destiny which none of us would desire or find it desirable. But yet, all life in this world is but an illusion, a reflection, a teaching, a lesson in class. When we focus, and excuse me, when we focus and can recognize that there are multiple stations along the radio of consciousness, then we recognize that the one that we're listening to now, which we call our world, is only one of many. And it takes on a much less greater significance than when we think it's the only game in town. And so, Petach Eliyahu concludes with how it opened, the necessity of revelation. In the beginning, we were taught there is revelation. In the end, we were taught this is how you receive it. We've come full circle now. And that is why we say here, what more can we reveal about the secret of the unity? Now it says that the Tikkuni Zohar will reveal 70 chapters, which will explain the first pasuk of Bereshit. And that is another lesson, another series of lessons, and a lifetime of learning. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen. Amen.